Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning. Welcome to you and our radio audience. We're so thankful for you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program. For it's our purpose to speak only those things found in God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question or a comment, pro or con, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject and you'd like for us to spend time and study it on the program, let us hear from you. You can contact me at the address given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. At 9:30, 30 minutes after this program goes off the air, the East Abbotville Church of Christ will conduct a Bible study period. At 10:15, we will come together for a period of worship. Tonight at 5, we will assemble, and also on Wednesday evening at 7, we have a Bible study period. You're always invited to come and to be with us, and we urge you to do so, keeping these times in mind. If you're all impossible to come to be with us, be aware that eastabbotville.org is the website you can log on and be able to both see and hear the Bible study and the worship services of the church. Or you can do so on the church's Facebook page or on the church's YouTube channel. All of these are available to you to be able to see and hear the services of the East Abbotville Church of Christ. At 8 o'clock tonight, Pat Donahue has a 30-minute live call-in program called Bible Crossfire. He will give you his phone number. You can call him, ask a Bible question, and in return expect a Bible answer. That's tonight at 8 o'clock. And if you're unable to pick up this radio station at that time and have satellite radio, tune in to Sirius XM Channel 131 at 8 o'clock. Keep all of these things in mind. We know that God is the master designer. We need only to look at the physical universe to realize this. And we read in Psalms 19 and verse 1, it tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. So the intricate and the marvelous design of the creation shows to us the wisdom of God. In Psalms 104, verse 24, O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. But we need to also realize that God's wisdom can be seen in other things that he has designed, like the church. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, it says that the manifold wisdom of God might be known through the church. So God is the creator, and God is the designer of the local church, too. His wisdom is seen in the way that the church is designed to work, just as it's seen in the way that the physical universe and the physical creation is designed to work. Men cannot improve upon God's design. At our best, we must learn to read the blueprints and to follow them. But unfortunately, many fail to realize, many fail to recognize this when it comes to the local church. They think that the local church is some sort of a free form association of Christians whose own members are at liberty to determine the form and the function that the church is to take on, how that it will work, and what that it will do. But the New Testament clearly reveals that local churches are all to follow a single God-given pattern. In fact, Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth is an obvious effort to bring that church into compliance with the blueprint that God has for every church. In fact, Paul told the Corinthians that he sent Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 17, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. Friends, this goes to show that many that profess themselves to be churches, all claiming to be churches that belong to God, following God's will, are not, because today, could the Apostle Paul go in the city or in the county of Marshall County and preach, as it says here, the same thing in every church? Not so. But notice that the ways that Timothy was to remind the Corinthians of were the same things that Paul taught everywhere in every church. In fact, later, in this same letter to the first to the Corinthians, Paul sets down several rules governing conduct in the worship assemblies. He explained, for instance, in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33, that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. In fact, the church at Corinth was expected to conform itself to the same standards as every other church. There is plainly a single pattern every church must follow. Now, many people may call this view narrow, and I've heard the word monolithic. But, you know, call it whatever you will, but it is what the Scriptures teach. And so the focus of our study in this lesson is the work that God has given local churches to do. What is it that every local church is to do? For what purposes has God designed the local church? What does God want the church to accomplish? And so, only when we have the correct answers to these questions will we have God's wisdom at work in the local church. Only then will we have a ready answer to questions like, what should the church do? Should the church do this, or should the church do that? The answer will be that the church should do its God's given work. Nothing less, nothing more. One of those works that we see is the work of evangelism. In fact, the first work that God has given local churches is evangelism. In fact, the church at Thessalonica was praised because from it the word of the Lord has sounded forth. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8. So here is the pattern for every church. Here is a mission that we must not lose sight of, and yet some do. An extreme illustration can be seen in a story I read some time ago about a little old lady who visited Westminster Abbey. Unimpressed by the tour guide's comments about the architecture and the history of the place, she broke in and said, "Young man, stop your chatter and tell me, has anyone been saved here lately?" You see, too many local churches fail to appreciate the duty they have to reach out to the lost with God's word. So much time and so much energy is spent on keeping house, on impressing and in serving themselves with purely human endeavors, that they lose sight of the vital, soul-saving work that the church is supposed to be doing, that God has charged the local church with. And just as churches sometimes lose sight of the soul-saving mission that God has given the church, they also sometimes lose sight of God's plan for accomplishing that mission. You see, according to God's plan, local churches may spread the word through several means. They may send out evangelists from among them, like the church at Antioch did. For instance, in Acts chapter 11, notice what we read beginning with verse 20. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. We find also, just at a couple of chapters over in Acts chapter 13, it says in verse 3, "Then, having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away." And then one chapter further over, we find in chapter 14, it says, there in verse 25 beginning, it says, "And now when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attala, and from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. Now when they came and gathered the church together, they reported all of the things that God had done with them, and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles." You see, the local church may support evangelists financially, like what the church at Philippi and others did. Paul made a statement in 1 Corinthians, there in the 9th chapter, when he said in verse 14 that even as the Lord has commended that those who preach the gospel should live with the gospel. And it's in 2 Corinthians that Paul makes this statement by inspiration in chapter 11 and verse 8. He said, "I bribed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you." And then it was that statement that Paul wrote in the letter to the church at Philippi in chapter 4. Notice Philippians 4, verse 15. "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessities." So the local church can support financially those that preach the gospel. In fact, they may even invite unbelievers into the assembly, which was obviously the case, as we read in 1 Corinthians 14, when Paul was trying to set in order the matter of the miraculous spiritual gifts. Excuse me. He said in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 24, but he said, "If all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all. He is convicted by all." So they could invite unbelievers to their assemblies to hear the word. However, men have devised many other schemes to do the work of evangelism. There have been missionary societies that have been formed. There's been the arrangement that has been entered into of the sponsoring church to top the list of human designs. And these are not a part of the work that God has designed for the local church. So these missionary societies and these sponsoring church arrangements, they're not an example, they're not an expression of the manifold wisdom of God. They are an expression of the wisdom of man. Friends, we just can't find human missionary societies and the arrangement of sponsoring churches in God's blueprint, the Scriptures. But then another work that the local church has been divinely authorized to do is edification. Local churches must actively involve themselves in the work of edification. Edification refers to building up and strengthening those that are Christians. In fact, this is one of the primary reasons that local churches assemble together for worship. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 26 that Paul, by inspiration, regulates these assemblies, and he commands in that verse, let all things be done for edification. See, edification, should be carefully noted, is not doing whatever we want to do to make one another feel good. Feeling good is not edification. Rather, it's doing what God has told us to do to make one another stronger, to make one another better, to make one another more faithful. Singing, praying, partaking of the Lord's Supper, these are God-given means of accomplishing edification in the church. It's in 1 Corinthians 14 that we read in verse 15. It says, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding. Then there's that passage in 1 Corinthians 11 where Paul tries to set in order the manner of the proper partaking of the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians 11, we begin reading in verse 18. Well, first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those that are approved may be recognized. Wherefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What, do you not have houses to eat and to drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those that have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you, for I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you. And many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment, and the rest I will set in order when I come. See, these are the God-given means of our accomplishing edification. And so is also the preaching of the word. But you know, potluck suppers, Christmas parties, pageants, rock bands, Elvis impersonators, concerts, basketball games, these are not the edification that God planned for the church, despite the fact that many churches include these kind of things in their work. The edification to be done by the church comes in, from, and through God's Word. That's why we have Acts chapter 20, where Paul said in verse 32, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among those that are sanctified. So it involves instruction, it involves exhortation, it involves correction, reproof, rebuke, and it even involves withdrawal, if that be the case. It does not entail every self-serving, feel-good activity that man can think up. But also, God has given the work to the local church to help needy saints. You know, as we've seen, churches are designed to meet man's spiritual needs in God's way, according to His plan. In general, we may also observe that God designed the world so that through His providence, men are individually able and responsible to work in order to fulfill their physical needs. We see that in Genesis 3 and verse 19, when God said to Adam that by the sweat of the brow you shall work. And in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, the statement made that if any provides not for his own, especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith, and he is worse than an infidel. But sometimes famine, natural disasters, maybe economic crises, maybe the death of a provider, or all sorts of similar problems, can prevent individuals from being able to meet their physical needs. Well, in such instances, God expects His children individually to do what they can do. In James 1, verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them of the household of faith. We're told in Ephesians, in the fourth chapter, in verse 28, these words. He says, and if I can find it, therefore, put it away lying, let each one speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. He said in verse 28, let him that stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. God perhaps could have given local churches the work of helping any and all who are in physical need as well. But the simple fact is that He did not. It may be that He knew such a task would be beyond the resources of the local church. It's in 1 Timothy, in chapter 5, that the statement is made in verse 16. If any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them, and do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are really widows. See, here in 1 Timothy 5:16, the reason given for having individual Christians to take care of their own widows, rather than having the church to do so, is that God did not want the church to be burdened. However, God did give local churches the responsibility of relieving the physical needs of destitute saints. This is the pattern that we see followed repeatedly in the Scriptures. Help to alleviate physical needs was given by churches to anyone among them that lacked. It's in Acts chapter 4 that we read of this, beginning in verse 33. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there any among them that lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. So anyone among them that lacked was supplied the things that they lacked. And it was to the widows that were among the number of disciples that we read about also in Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. It was to brethren that were dwelling in Judea in Acts chapter 11. Notice we read in verse 26. It says, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were called Christians in Antioch. And in those days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all of the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, everyone according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. We know that when Paul made mention of the contribution in the second letter to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, notice what he says in verse 1. He said, "Moreover, brethren, we made known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." So the poor among the saints in Jerusalem were dealt with here in 2 Corinthians 8, also in Romans 15, and to the saints in general in 2 Corinthians. Notice we have in chapter 9 this statement made in verse 1. "Now, concerning the ministering to the saints, it's superfluous for me to write to you." And then he says in verse 12, "For the administration of this service not only supplied the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God." See, consistently, the pattern is that churches had the work of helping needy saints, never non-saints. Churches need to concern themselves with doing the work of God designed them to do. You know, far too often, for far too long, church work has been driven by human idealism rather than divine wisdom. Typically, men start with a human idea of this, quote, good work, and then they ask, what's wrong with it? And then, if they don't find it specifically condemned in the scriptures, they begin to practice it. Friends, this process has produced not only the man-made mess known as denominationalism, but also division after unscriptural division among churches of Christ. What we do, what we need to do, is start with God's design. Accept that His way is not only the right way, but it's also the best way. And then follow His pattern implicitly. It's in John 17 and verse 4, Jesus made the statement in the prayer that He prayed to the Father, "I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." You know, I wonder how many churches today could say that they have glorified God by doing the work that He has given them to do. Yes, God is the designer of the universe, and His manifold wisdom can be seen clearly. But also, God's divine manifold wisdom should also be seen in the church. But we can only do that if and when we do all things in belief and practice according to what God's Word says. We appreciate so much you listening to the program. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. And it's until then that we want to bid you a pleasant good day. And now we will return you back to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.